Hello, hello. This is The Enthusiasts. We're on season two, episode one. How did it happen? I know we're going all American. We're on season two.
Seasons. I was really pleased that we restarted the numbers though, because I was thinking, where did we get to last season? Season one. Was it 35 episodes?
I think it was 35. Yeah, which again on its own is bonkers, isn't it? That we had that. Consistency that we managed to keep it going for that
gold content, Wayne. We had pure gold from start to end.
And interestingly as well, was what was it they were posted? I'd posted something and one of my mates, hiya Neil, had said, "Where's the enthusiasts?"
where have you gone?
I think it was completely unrelated to what I'd posted about, but it was just like, "Where's the enthusiasts?" And I have had the same on LinkedIn as well. I posted about something and somebody just commented underneath, "What's going on with the enthusiasts?" So yeah. Hello to all our faithful listeners. Yeah.
Nice to be back. We've just had one or two things on throughout the summer, haven't we, Wayne? You know, odd swim here and there, a bit of a splash about in a lake, hey?
Yeah, well, it's still open if you want to sponsor me. So I've raised £4,000 for the Brave Day Trust now.
Woo! So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
massive, massive congratulations. Amazing achievement.
Swam the length of Windermere. So there you go. Yeah.
And I've been swimming as well, and I swam the length of Gurnall Dubs last night, which was a good 15-minute swim. So I'm there with you.
Breaststroke like that. Yeah. It is. We've all got to start somewhere. Yeah, we're getting completely off subject because we've got a subject to talk about, haven't we? But something popped up on my Facebook memories the other day to say, I think it was only 6 years ago I restarted swimming after I'd never swam since I was a kid. So I started with Ulverston Tri Club and couldn't swim. I think it was 200 meters one morning. So that's however many lengths that is, isn't it? For eight lengths. So I struggled to swim eight lengths.
That's incredible, isn't it?
That shows you. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where you'll be going in a few years then, Lisa.
That's where I'll be going, yeah, absolutely. I'll be right there by your side.
So anyway, you've just dipped.
I think, you know, I need some congratulations for dipping this topic. It's sensational. Humour!
And devastating that Neil can't join us today for that reason. But we would be here for about 3 days, I think. So it is immense, isn't it? Where'd you start with humour?
It's the thing with humour. I love it. I love the fact that humour can be such a personal thing, can't it? Yeah. But also you know when you meet somebody, it's like I don't know, it's like sniffing out another animal, isn't it? Like are they one of you?
Yeah, that's it. Tell me what you find funny.
Like, yeah, what you want me to tell you? Oh my God, what do I find funny? People tell me the things that I find funny are completely ludicrous, and that's the thing, isn't it? But you don't even need to ask that question when you meet somebody, because you just inherently know. Yeah. You kind of zone into the same things. You snigger at the same things. You raise an eyebrow. Like when we met as a collective, yourself, Neil, me, in that group. It was very apparent from, I think, the first 10 minutes that we absolutely were in the same humour draw, whilst other members of the group were not.
No,
and that's fine, but it's your tribe, going back to that tribe thing we've always talked about throughout The Enthusiasts, you know, find your humour tribe, my goodness.
And you're right, isn't it? So those other people, they've got different senses of humour, the big fat losers. Hiya, all right, no. But it is right. And what I love is, and we've had this with the enthusiasts quite a lot, is when you get going and I'm laughing so hard at you, I have to mute myself, or you're finding something amusing or getting enraged about
Remove the headset, absolutely.
And I'm laughing so hard in the background, I just can't speak.
But some people's faces just make me laugh. Not necessarily pulling, but just their faces. Well, just know that when you see that face, you're going to smile and they're going to say something amazingly funny, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally.
Well, yeah.
No?
Yeah. And that's it. I can hear Wendy screaming as she's listening to this.
Absolutely.
About you, yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So I was looking furiously trying to find an exchange on Twitter that I had just yesterday. So somebody that I follow had tweeted, "I'm a bum face." And it was like one of those, wasn't it? So I responded, "I attest, somebody nicked your phone." And she replied with, "Yeah, the kid. I thought she was going to actually laugh herself sick." she was so amused by herself that she was, that was brilliant. And that just encapsulates it all, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? I love it. I love it. I love the fact as well that now our kids are on the same level in terms of sense of humor. I've been saying to Rob, like, literally, you do know that they're going to, at the age of 6 and sort of 7, they're going to get to your sense of humor. And then beyond that, they're just going to think that you're not funny anymore, you know?
So, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's the mental age thing, isn't it? Your humor is a 6-year-old.
Is a 6-year-old is about CBeebies. It's not even CBBC. You know, it's not even the realms of junior stuff. It's still very, very, very infant. It's funny. It is. But it's just like, I find so many things humorous. I find so many people humorous. And sometimes it's a bit like this color thing. You know, when somebody doesn't think something's funny, so you recommend a TV show, or you recommend, so for me, the Vicar of Dibley is quite possibly the funniest thing ever. It's just brilliant. It's stupid. It's
on so many levels. It's brilliant, isn't it?
And I just absolutely, you know. But then also, in a completely different vein, like a Wes Anderson film, okay, it's not really supposed to be all about funny. It's a bit more kind of creative and cool than that, but you know, there are elements of what he does which is just so funny, but it's a different kind of humor. And that's it, isn't it? You've got different kind of humors for different how you're feeling, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Because what I was having to reflect and go all wistful as you were talking then, and think about different sort of things which proper amuse me and my motivation for amusing. And I think one of the most brilliant things for me is, like, visually, and you've got all your comedy and everything on TV. So, brought up with Fawlty Towers, particularly. Just Fawlty Towers.
I mean, the Fawlty Towers is just like, it's just a timeless piece.
Absolutely. You have to flip back into Monty Python from there, because
and all their wonderful films, and they were just pioneers, weren't they? They were just so, were they ahead of the time or were they of the time? I don't know. They were just, were geniuses. Incredible.
And it does, I don't know, it was just brilliant for on all sorts of levels. But then I was thinking of stuff like hearing funny stuff. So listening to podcasts that proper amuse you for all sorts of different reasons now. And then I think one of the most inspiring things that I've ever read from a human perspective was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I haven't. And I know there'll be people screaming at you now and
of course,
all sorts of things. But that being sitting reading something, and I remember reading bits of it on a train and laughing so hard I was crying at something I was reading, I think that was the first time that had ever happened to me. I think I must have been about 15 or something like that.
And then
you've got all those different levels, haven't you, of things that just immerse yourself in different ways, I think.
You're absolutely right. But you know, it makes me think though also of when I'm a storyteller, I don't know if you've noticed, but I like to tell a tale. And there's that thing, you know, I'll think something is absolutely hilarious and then there's a tumbleweed across the room.
Yes.
And it's that moment when you think something's really, really funny and you feel the urge to say those immortal words. Well, I guess you had to be there.
Which comes back to your hatred of sayings, doesn't it? But it is right. It is absolutely right. some things are only funny in that moment.
In the moment, yeah,
and,
exactly.
And for those people that were there, it was the most groundbreakingly hilarious
moment in the history of time, you know. The other one that I just always go back to, and you know, there are TV shows, aren't there? Like you say, like Fawlty Towers are amazing. Yeah. Mighty Boosh. And my favorite episode is Coconut Joe, where he's kind of on this island with a coconut he makes friends with. And it's a bit kind of ode to, what's the film with?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah. It's a bit ode to that. And it is just totally bonkers. I like ludicrous, bonkers, silly humor. That's kind of really infantile, but then on another level, quite complex, not too complex for me, obviously, but you know, just that creative humor. it's just absolutely,
what's that? Look at that.
I'm just thinking about it.
It's so amazing.
Like, there are some things like you're saying about the book that make me laugh so much. It actually physically hurts. Yeah. And then when I try and tell the story back, I can't get the words out because I'm laughing too much because it's just too funny.
Yeah. And you get all breathless. You're like, no.
And snort a bit. Yeah. Like a little pig. You know, chuck a bit of a snort pig in. And then you're there. And everybody knows if the pig comes out, it was absolutely hilarious. The funniest thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know. But then I think that's the thing as well, isn't it? Then the people who weren't there are laughing at you telling the story, and you just get carried away in that. And that, there's nothing more wonderful, I think, than that collective hilarity, is there, where you're just all there going, or whatever, like full on, massive. Yeah, your ribs are hurting from laughing so much. You can't breathe properly. You've got tears streaming down your face. And then a bunch of people walk into the room and look at you like, what's going on here then? Yeah. And again, that's about standard, isn't it? Well, see, now I'm furiously listening to you trying to talk and writing stuff down to remember to try and shoehorn into the conversation as well. Well, because the Mighty Boosh is a weird one for me. I've never got that. I know it's a weird one. I've only ever watched the first three episodes. Don't be offended, because it's not. I need to carry on with it, but
do you though? Is it just not? Because there are things that people have recommended to me, and so there's a program on called the something American. I can't remember it. That's really helpful, isn't it? Anyway, right. Yeah. So there's a program that everybody watches and thinks is hilarious, and I cannot watch it. It's just, it's dull. It's uneventful. It just doesn't make me laugh. I just don't think it's funny. So I will give it two or three episodes, but I think beyond that, is it called the Schneds or something? Or some American program? I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So there are things, and I think, well, you know what? I can keep going with this. Or it's just not for me, and that's fine. That's okay. Shit's Creek. That's the one.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. I get what you're saying, but I love it for that reason, because it's there's repeated stuff within it that's ace. But anyway, I get. Well, I was just googling just to make sure that I got the right thing, because the Mighty Boosh is Noel Fielding, isn't it?
It's Noel Fielding and Julian Whatnot, and they are just geniuses. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that was the thing, because I know I saw Noel Fielding in the It Crowd or the IT Crowd, or whatever that is.
Brilliant.
Amazing. And then all sorts of different stuff, seeing him doing stand-up and stuff. And it's just, it's surreal, amazing, isn't it? And he's really, really clever.
It's incredible. It's incredible. One of them turns into a VHS. It's basically morphs into a VHS monster. I mean, it's just so stupid. League of Gentlemen, that's another one. They are, for me, I mean, there's something called Inside Number 9, and I just, that's just a bit too much. Rob's probably down the corridor screaming at this point because he loves it, but it's just a bit too dark. The humour's just a bit much, and I think the League of Gentlemen had a tendency to kind of cover off some quite dark topics, which were funny at the time. Yeah. But it was at the outer realms for sure. I mean, it's just disgusting. I think that's the thing. It's sometimes it's just a little bit too disgusting.
See, I don't. Yeah, I just don't get League of Gentlemen at all. I can't. It's not. I don't know. I've persevered on all number of occasions and just can't
try to
grasp it at all. It's really. And then because then there's other stuff like Mrs. Brown's Boys. My parents go and a bunch of my family go on about that, and I just watch it.
I don't understand it. Why that's funny? What is that? It's supposed to be funny, isn't it? And it's
Mrs.
on.
Diet,
I mean, first of all, it's like a Saturday night 9 o'clock slot on BBC One for me. That's or whatever time it is, 8 o'clock.
But it's prime time,
Yeah, it's prime time, so it's not. I'm afraid it's not going to appeal to me. Just on the basis of the slot. I'm out.
Oh, right. Is it? All right. Okay.
Chuck it on BBC Four at 11 o'clock one night. I'll go fishing for it. And it'll be Nighty Night. Oh, my God. Nighty Night. Did you ever watch Nighty Night?
No.
It's superb. That is superb. And again, that's quite dark, but it's very funny. So it's Julia somebody. Terrible with names.
Oh my God. She's amazing. Yeah, because she was in Gavin and Stacey as well.
Yes, she was. And Ruth is in it from Gavin and Stacey, the lady that wrote Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, I've got Ruth Jones, of course. Yeah, Julia Davis.
Julia Davis and Ruth Jones. That is amazing. They only did two series, and Angus Deaton's in it as well.
And Kevin Eldon as well. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's some cast.
It's a truly, superbly funny. And it was just hidden. It was just hidden. Get me? I'm so niche. Yeah, I love being so niche.
But then
I love The Vicar of Dibley, so you know.
Then there's a whole thing with Vicar of Dibley, a bit like Fawlty Towers, isn't there? Where you go, right, okay, then. So there was Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders. So there's loads of stuff that you can talk about with them. Then Victoria Wood, of course, who was just absolute
amazing.
Bloody genius. And stuff like
such a clever woman.
Oh, absolutely, and that comes back to the words thing for me. Is play on words is the best comedy that I think is possible. Yeah.
But the words, but the gaps in between, the space in between the words is where the humour is for
literally
me.
Literally the comedy timing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You love
yeah.
that. Yeah. Just pausing long enough.
Yeah, yeah, just wait for it to land. Da, 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 da. Well, I'm thinking about the joke. I'm thinking about, I've got it. Thanks for the explanation, Rob. No, you know, it's there, isn't it? It's all about the delivery.
You can literally hear the penny drop,
Oh, yeah, big time. That's it's so funny in social situations, isn't it, when somebody tells a joke. And you have no idea what the heck they're going on about. And either that or it's just not funny. And you're like, what point am I going to laugh here? Because I don't really understand what's going on.
Now I've got a weird memory that's just popped into my head of that happening at the Abbey House Hotel. Bear with me in the story, somebody was telling the tale. I'm not sure whether it might well have been you.
I was going to say, you're sure it sounds like me?
Yeah. And either telling or the receiving end. And then story ends and a few people chuckle and all the rest of it. And then conversation moves on. And 5 minutes later, there's just laughter. And it's like, oh, right, it's just sunk in. They just got the joke.
Oh, there was, could well have been me. That could well have been a Lisa story for shorties. I mean, oh, yeah. So,
just... Oh, I'm gone. You carry on talking. That's just really...
No, just there's so many... it's funny, isn't it? There's just like... Peter Kay, I think, is a very, very, very... clever, funny chap. But when I went and watched, I loved all the the Phoenix Nights and all that kind of stuff. But we went to see him and it wasn't the same. It just wasn't as funny. It wasn't, and I'm sorry, I bet people are going bonkers now screaming, listening to me say this, but he was just, for whatever reason, it just didn't translate into this. It was a very big show we went to see. It wasn't an arena, it was at like a big concert, wherever. Not important. But it just people were laughing, and I'm sure lots of other people thought it was funny, but it just didn't work somehow in that environment. Whereas on the TV, I just think he's so funny, like Car Share and all that. It's just bloody brilliant, yeah. isn't it? So clever.
And that there was that I always go back to that Peter Kay thing as well, which was before Phoenix Nights.
Yes.
The stuff which is just really is absolute genius, and just quite often gets forgotten in a lot of conversations.
It does. Yeah, because in the club they had like the cleaner, didn't they? And the guy that just wanted to be on stage and just painful. But it's painful. Observational. It's the observational stuff, isn't it? Where people have he's really crafted this thing where he's watched how people behave and really ordinary, amazing people, and just this humour in it. You know, it's a gift, isn't it?
It is. Well, and that, and he just had a bunch of his mates acting in them, basically. And that's where Paddy McGuinness and Dave Spikey and all the rest of it. They're just a bunch of people who used to hang around in Bolton.
And shared with a shared sense of humour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to this thing, there's this like magnetic pull, isn't there?
Absolutely. And they're all writing stuff together and all laughing their heads off at each other, literally, because that's what the life is. I remember at the time, I think it was towards the end of Phoenix Nights. I was living in Bolton at the time, and going out, my ex's dad at the time was like, I'll come for a pint in this pub. I won't say where it is, just in case I ever want to visit again. but it was like walking into a sketch from Phoenix Nights, and it was.
Did it start with a fur?
I'm not saying anything. I'm not giving anything away. So it was somewhere in Bolton or the surrounding area. But
so Casato is where Vicky works, where I used to work, the pram company. That is where it's set. And they had like social events at that club. So they do like comedy nights and music nights and stuff. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
But brilliant, isn't it? Because it's the best possible thing is because people just are like that. And that's that, like you said, the observational comedy.
Brilliant.
It's because you just relate to it because that's how those characters are. You know, character X is Bobby who sits at the end of the bar, for example. And stuff. And then,
exactly. A bit like Early Doors as well, isn't it? It's that thing, isn't it? We've all been to a pub like Early Doors, you know,
absolutely,
with the guy behind the bar and the couple that never go anywhere and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's there. It's real life. I mean, I don't know. Is it a northern thing? Is it because we've been brought up with it and we're just familiar with it? I don't know.
No, I don't think it. I don't think it is. I think it's the same wherever you are, isn't it? But well, in the UK particularly, it is the same. Yeah. Oh, that's made me think of two pints of lager and a packet of chips, packet of crisps.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that with that? Yeah, crisps,
yeah,
isn't
of
it?
Course.
That just reminds me of that in the pub as well.
Hilariously funny. But I love all of those things where it's like ordinary, like you say, it's a club, it's a pub, it's like ordinary life. It's kind of what you're doing, or it's work or whatever. But it's just total escapism. You just can completely lose yourself in that humour for, you know, for half an hour, whatever it is. Like The Office.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, that, you've just crossed another one off my list with that one. Yeah.
The Office. Oh, just cool. Like the stapler in the jelly. I mean, that has got to be the funniest thing ever. Didn't he get some kind of Oscar for that moment? It was utterly brilliant. I mean, who doesn't want to put? And that's the sort of thing I would imagine you would do.
Yeah, I think in the shipyard in Barrow, I'm fairly certain somebody once, or a group of lads filled one of their colleagues' top drawers with paper clips, like literally to the brim, so he couldn't get anything out. I'm sure, literally. How they managed to source quite the number of paper clips to fill a drawer. But I'm sure it might be a myth, but I don't care. It's just hilarious, isn't it, for that.
I love people that go to massively elaborate lengths for comedy. You know, like literally, I think I need to just go to work, have a bit of a chuckle, get my tea and sit at my desk and whatever. But there are people that will plan, like, all right, what we're going to do to Bob in accounts, right? We're going to get in 3 hours early and we're going to put a whoopee cushion under his chair and then we're going to do this. Obviously, it'd be a bit funnier than that. I can't think of anything. I'm freestyling. But, you know, this whole thing about, and then we're going to do this and it's going to be so funny and I'm going to plan it all week. I love humour, but I just don't think I could invest that much time into
it. You're not that bothered. No. I've got to come back to it, pull you up on the whoopee cushion thing. What is funnier than a whoopee cushion? Nothing on the planet is funnier than a fart.
Well, we've got one for Rob for Father's Day this year that said Happy Father's Day, and the kids think this is the best thing. Just like, oh my God. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But he's scarred because apparently when he was at school, he took one because humor's been with Rob, you know, like I say, he peaked at six.
Yeah.
Obs. He took a whoopee cushion to school and he got absolutely shouted at for putting it on his teacher's chair when he was about six or seven, and he's a bit scarred about it. But yeah. Yeah.
Why?
What's wrong with her? My goodness.
That's trapped him in the moment. I think you're right.
That's like when the plates banged.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why he chases children with a stick with a poo on the end of it now, because he's still 6 years old. Well, again, with the whoopee cushion, I'm going to do a big tick on my list. Blazing Saddles. So
Blazing Saddle, the classic scene. Round the fire. So we were discussing the other week, at what point are we all going to let the children watch that? Because we can't let them watch the whole film because we just can't.
No, the sheriff's just not.
I think the world's moved on a little since that film was made. However, we will never move on from eating baked beans and sitting around a campfire.
Absolutely no chance. And I am so, I would have been in tears of frustration and sadness had you not said that, I think. if you didn't know the fart scene from Blazing Saddles, I think I don't know what I would have done.
It's still that's one of those things, like when we were talking before about humor can really hurt.
Oh, absolutely,
it hurts you so. Your tummy just takes weeks to recover. Never mind swimming the length of a lake.
Yeah,
laughter.
Why are my ribs sore? Oh, it's when I laughed last week at the fart scene.
Oh, when your mouth hurts so much. Like, I've had nights out and days out with friends, right? Literally, my jaws hurt. So Vicky has this thing where she goes, we're like robots, we're like just chatting. But it's not just chatting, it's laughter. It's jaw-aching laughter. Yeah.
That visually was brilliant as well for me. Sorry for those listening into this. Yeah, you doing the visuals of the jaw. Oh, flipping
heck.
Yeah. Where was it going then? Changing gear completely. No, Father Ted.
Father Ted, the Eurovision episode with the horse. I mean, nothing. I keep saying this, but like nothing could be funnier than Father Ted. Or what about when they do river dancing in the caravan with the guy that has the chat show now? I forgot his name.
Oh my God, yeah.
God, what's wrong with me? I can't think of anybody's name. But Father Ted. Oh, there's this episode, right, where they meet the nurses and these nuns arrive, and they go, oh, Dougal, you remember Sister Whatnot, whatever her name is. No, I don't remember Ted. You do. You were. It was a Thursday, and you were eating a donut. Nope, sorry, Ted. Don't remember. And they go into all these elaborate things, and then they go, Dougal. You know, you were wearing your Argyle tank top. Ah, yes, Ted. I know exactly. It's just this. I mean, obviously, it's a bit funnier than that, and it goes on quite a long time. But it's very, very funny. Oh, one more thing. There's a side diagram of somebody's head, and it's all this thing about, like, in Dougal's little head, it's spaghetti and it's all confusion. There's like reality, you know, Dougal's mind.
And again, there's so many levels on that, isn't it? And I think what the part of the beauty of Father Ted for me is small numbers of characters in the grand scheme of things, isn't there? Because you've got, you know, those sort of why is it 3-4 central characters with Ted, Dougal, Father Jack, and what's the lady called? Mrs. Doyle. Yeah, so there's those four set, and it's just in a living room, isn't it? Basically,
it's wonderful. Again, it's just simple things, and I'm not a catchphrase girl. I don't like the whole Catherine Tate. We'll come back to that, but that whole catchphrase. Right, yeah. But then go on. Again. It's the gap in between. It's just something about it that is just wonderful. And there's an episode where Ted even goes off and buys a tea's maid and comes back, and she literally is so angry.
Oh yeah, the rage.
The rage.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I tell you, so things I have found not to be funny. Catherine Tate is number one.
Right.
Number two, the girl that falls over all the time. She's just a big oaf, and she's not funny. And then the other one The other one that will be, yeah, Rebecca, Catherine, some girl. She's a very tall lady, and she just falls over all the time. And she's
Miranda.
Miranda.
Yeah.
Don't find her funny. But the one that, well, this will be interesting to see what you think about this. The two got David Williams and Baby in a room. Those two, and they do a TV show, Little Britain.
Yeah. Well, you don't like that.
No, I didn't find that remotely amusing.
Really? Right?
Yeah.
See, some of their sketches, I wasn't that sure about, but yeah. Yeah,
I don't find them funny at all.
All right, well, let's put a bit of a damper.
No, sorry, but let's what about Bob Mortimer and Vic Reeves though? Come on, let's Vic.
Vic and Bob's big night out back in the day. Oh,
that's,
my goodness!
I think that's so. As a child growing up, I've watched sort of Fawlty Towers with my parents and all that, and the Young Ones. I think Vic and Bob were the first kind of interesting humor, but the Young Ones, like, we were about 10 when that came out, maybe a bit older, and I just couldn't believe anything could be so funny, like somebody sticking the head out of a train and it getting chopped off by the other train coming in the other direction, or, you know, a big nail in somebody's foot. Hilarious. It was just really clever humor. Those guys were brilliant, weren't they?
Indeed. So much about it. And then that leads me on to Bottom as well.
Bottom was brilliant.
And just the same ridiculous sense of humour, like hitting each other with pants and stuff like that. But 6-year-old humour again was just absolutely there, wasn't it?
I'm trying to think.
So there's loads of UK stuff that were talked about there, apart from Blazing Saddles, I think. Over to the States. Yeah, where do we
well,
go
yeah.
to the States?
Curb Your Enthusiasm is, to me, that's a bit of a tough one. I can't deny that is one that I gave more than 3 episodes. But then once I got, I mean, Larry is the most idiotic person in the world. So annoying, but just so funny. And it's all the people around him. You know, he's like, he goes out today to kind of do the right thing, but he's just, I don't want to swear, but he's just a bit of a dick. And it's very, very, very funny. I like Curb Your Enthusiasm a lot. But a lot of other sort of American stuff, I can't think there's anything really. The American version of The Office is a bit weird. Have you seen that?
Very, very different, isn't it? Doesn't know. Again, I think I've watched the first episode about 4 or 5 times and got halfway through the second episode and given up. But then, I'm thinking of stuff like back in the day, I used to watch Cheers. And that was just amazing. I used to love watching that. I suppose
Friends then, you know.
Well, yeah. Oh, God, absolutely,
That was just at its time, just absolutely hilarious. Just hilarious. Have you seen the reunion program that they've
made? No, I've not, no. I've overdosed. I definitely overdosed on Friends, so I can't watch it anymore.
It was on repeat for about 20 years on Channel 4, but that again was so of its time and looks so dated now, but the humour hasn't, you know, the humour is still, it's so funny, you know, the girl, smelly cat and all that. It's just brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And again, great, right? Well, it must have been because they went on for so bloody long, didn't it? And then Simpsons is another one. It just rolls on. Yeah, and then suddenly we're into cartoon funnies as well. And just like, oh, and I love cartoon funnies. They're just, yeah.
Yes.
Because you get away with more of them, don't you?
Of course you do, because they're cute little characters with big eyes. Like, you know, South Park, for example.
Exactly. I didn't want to steal any thunder, but I was hoping you were going down that. And then Family Guy as well is another one that I
never really watched that. Never really watched that. But that is supposed to be very, very good. If you're into The Simpsons and all those others. Yeah, I'm even later.
Yeah, but that was just, there's a couple of bits in those where every now and then the joke will come back around and it just goes on. And it's like repeat until funny. And it does. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. So many times I've been howling.
And that is another one that's been going for years. Like, it's not quite as long as The Simpsons, but just forever, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, yeah. And then you get onto the writing. How are you so well, they have massive teams of writers, don't they, I guess. But how do you maintain that funniness for so many years? Well, I guess Family Guy isn't. They only have a small amount of people who write and talk on that. But it's Seth Rogen, isn't it, who does that? Who's just bloody amazing.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. I'm not sure. But I guess the thing is with people, it seems like really good comedians, sort of bringing it back to UK, thinking about Blackadder, for example, he quit doing that because he just felt like he'd taken the characters and possibly the humour as, I don't think he'd ever run out of humour. But just as a writing team, they felt like they'd done as much as they could with that. That set of characters, the Blackadder characters.
Yeah, yeah. Blimey, Charlie. Yeah, of course.
Blackadder, how did we not talk about that? Yeah, exactly. There'll be loads of others we've forgotten about. Well, but yeah,
we need to revisit. It's another one of those.
we need Neil in the room.
Oh, well, absolutely. Oh, he'll be beside himself, screaming at this one. Mrs. Doubtfire. I watched Mrs. Doubtfire again. It was on last week, I think. Oh my God, it's brilliant.
Oh, I love those films where you just keep going back.
And Robin Williams, what an amazing character.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
My one of those is Chevy Chase and the holidays, the Griswold Family Holidays.
Oh, National Lampoon.
National Lampoon. Oh, and Christmas. The Christmas. That's the hurt humor again.
Yeah.
Like the one where they get the Christmas tree and they go nick it from a field and then they undo it and it smashes all the windows and the turkey's dry and it's just like this continual things around him. But yeah, he's smiling at the end throughout it all.
Absolutely.
You know,
so what brilliant. A great Christmas we all had. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, National Lampoon.
Also, thinking Christmas films, I'm thinking about Home Alone. We just watched that film on repeat. Yeah, yeah. It is so funny. It's that kind of stupid slaps, a bit kind of Charlie Chaplin humor, isn't it? You know, that real visual humor where you just like, you can't believe what is happening, and it's just like laugh after laugh after laugh after.
Oh,
laugh.
It is, and I'd written down Elf before as well.
Elf. Just too good.
Exactly. Yeah, we're recording this in September, but the Christmas stuff's starting to come out already, and I'm like, well, that for me is the best thing about it, is being able to watch Elf. And I love Will Ferrell. He's in so many amazing.
Eurovision film he just recently did. I mean,
How
have we been on this for however long we've been on this and not mentioned that film, the greatest film of the modern era?
Well, you'd mentioned Eurovision in the Father Ted thing before, and that's what prompted me. I wrote Eurovision, Anchorman, and Elf down as a result. But it is, isn't it brilliant? It's like play ya ya ding dong.
It's great. It's my mum and dad literally, I think they watch it every weekend. I'm pretty sure they know that film. Honestly. Word by word by word. Oh God, yeah. Connie and David, Eurovision, couple of bottles of wine each, and that's the perfect night for them.
Well, and thanks to Connie and David as well. For sponsoring my swim, having never met you.
I know. It was very
wonderful of you. Amazing human beings. But yeah, it is Eurovision's absolutely amazing. And there was, I don't know, have you seen a film called Pineapple Express?
No, I'm going to write that down.
You must find that, and I think Rob will delight in all. It's a bit of a stoner
in all its
movie.
Stupidity.
Oh yeah, right. Okay. It's a bit of a they're off. Yeah, there's a lot of recreational drugs.
Well, what were those guys called that used to do Cheech and Chong?
Cheech and Chong.
God.
God. Yeah. I just did the snort as well. Oh, brilliant. Well, and that makes me think Beavis and Butthead as well.
Anyway, Pineapple Express, did you say?
Yeah. After you say, and that there's a couple of scenes in that where there's a bit of a build up, and then oh my God, it's so funny, so funny.
Right, that's going on the list. I need to see films. So that's going to go on the list.
And then
when the kids are in bed, probably.
And I've got to come back to stuff that the cartoony related stuff as well. And I think I was watching Frozen with my daughter. And I love watching Frozen. But the writing in Disney films, where you'll be watching something in a cinema, and all the adults laugh, and the kids are like, "What are you laughing at? This is a children's film." And you're like, "Yeah, but that's an adult joke that's just been
the Disney writers and I think as well, actually, to some extent, the guys that do like the Minions and that other kind of
absolutely they that is yeah Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. There's a really funny, there's a couple of really funny ones we've been watching over the summer. One about the Mitchells, and it's basically where these aliens come down and the iPhone is like, it's all about the iPhone taking over, and then there's aliens, and it's just, it is so funny. It is so, so funny. The kids love it because there's like really, really lovely child humor in there. But yeah, you're right, for adults. We went to watch Frozen 2 at the brewery here in Kendal, and there was like masses of us, and we arrived, and behind us there was just these three kind of middle-aged ladies. They were there just on their own watching it. And it was funny. I mean, it is good and it is funny, but it wasn't that funny. Literally, I looked to Rob. The kids kept wanting to go to the toilet. I was like, should we move? You know, the little snowman. I mean, I think she was just screaming. I thought she was literally going to wet herself or explode or cry. She just would not stop laughing to the point where it was really annoying.
I was just, you're just ruining your enjoyment.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all funny. It's mostly funny. But it's not all funny. But no, I think the Toy Story films are another brilliant example of just clever, clever humor. And I don't, you know, I mean, they just this. I think these guys have really, really nailed it in terms of cartoons now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, they've got the formula, haven't they? And they're repeating it just with a bunch of different characters, slightly different characters, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about a Disney film. A Disney film, we call it the dead parent alert. That's the first thing we do with dead parent, because there's always a dead parent.
Yeah.
Always, without fail. And if there's not in the first few scenes, then there is 5 minutes
at some point. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Tug on the heartstrings a little bit, explains why they are the way they are.
Exactly. Oh, but no, absolutely brilliant. I love those films. But there's like the other one is Ben Stiller, not a cartoon, but just Ben Stiller. I just think is so funny. Yeah. Zoolander.
Zoolander. Yeah, I was waiting for that one. Yeah. Blue Steel. Just brilliant.
He is just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
I think back to what you were saying earlier on as well, those faces where you just make you smile or laugh. He's definitely got one of those
faces, hasn't he? He's got a face that you just know within 5 seconds you're going to be howling with laughter. What do you think? Have you seen a lot of live comedy? I was talking about Peter Kay earlier. Have you been to many comedy clubs?
No, I haven't at all. I would really love to. But weirdly, there was when Channel 5 first launched, and I was down at college in Blackpool, they used to do, was it the Comedy Store Live? Mm. So they used to, they'd be doing the stand-up down in London, and then they'd play that out. And there were some absolute genius comedians were doing that. I don't understand why they don't do that anymore. But while I was talking, I'd also Googled that Meet the Fockers as well, with the Ben Stiller stuff. And having Robert De Niro in those as well is just perfection.
He is amazing, isn't he? What a great cat. That is just such a great film. Dustin Hoffman, And is it Bette Midler or somebody that's his wife?
Barbara Streisand, sorry.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Incredible.
Incredible cast,
it is, isn't it? And sorry, I've got distracted by the stand-up thing as well.
It's funny though, like humor as well. We've both traveled a lot, and when one of the things the subject that you always get onto pretty early doors with people, you know, from you know, different countries, etc., is always humor. And without fail, every person that I meet says Fawlty Towers. I mean, I've got these friends out in Norway, for example, and literally they are so obsessed with Fawlty Towers. They go to Fawlty Tower, well, they used to before COVID anyway, twice a year. They go to Fawlty Towers evenings where you go and basically be shouted at through your entire meal and food thrown at you. That sounds brilliant. I do quite like that. That sounds like a fun night out. Maybe just once, not twice a year, but yeah.
Because they do those all over, don't they? I've seen that. Have they done them at like the Castle Green, stuff like that?
Oh, before? Have they? Oh, I didn't realise
sure
that.
I'm sure they have, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they've done them at,
yeah. And because when we were down living in Devon, the hotel was still there, the original, the one that inspired it, but it's just apparently now it's been recently pulled down. And
oh, no, right.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that, yeah, not particularly humorous story, but I learned, Manuel taught me how to speak Spanish. Andrew Sachs used to do a series of Spanish educational tapes, so that when I first started learning Spanish in my Spanish classes, it was Manuel speaking. It was Andrew Sachs.
Brilliant.
Again, on all sorts of levels, it's just wonderful, isn't it? Is that because around that time I was watching Fawlty Towers around 13 years of age, and having Andrew
He could genuinely speak Spanish then.
I presume so.
I hope so.
He's quite a clever bloke. Well, as all of them are, as all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think comedians do tend to be, don't they? Because
You've got to be so quick-witted and so sharp and so...
Yeah.
Like, it's the thing, if you imagine most of them have made their way up through the comedy clubs that we talked about, and they've been on stage and they've kind of bared the soul, haven't they? You know, and you have to have some kind of, you know, balls to get up there and to be able to retort, or, you know, to be able to take quite harsh criticism.
That's it, all the heckling that you get. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the time. I think this is by far the longest one that we've done.
Well,
and we could go on literally for days, I think.
We could go on for days and days and days. And as I say, if Neil was here, I'm sure we would be we'd be sat here at least another hour longer. But yeah, okay. Well, look, that was great, wasn't it?
It was nice return to form, yes.
I think so, after our small summer break.
Yeah, exactly. So that we have been the Enthusiasts. Yeah, that was season 2, episode 1. I am going to have to go. Because otherwise I'll forget. So if you're only just picking up on this, there's a whole 30 odd other ones that you need to listen to, which people have been listening to over the summer, actually. Right? We've been getting more fans. But give us a like, give us a subscribe and all that sort of gubbins. And do comment on social media and let us know what subjects you would like us to discuss, and we'll give you a shout. We'll do special one-offs. I think Neil had actually suggested tattoos. Discussed tattoos. Well, yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? We could go all over the place on that. So
we really could.
So maybe we need to do a special one-off request one for Neil next week and discuss tattoos and see where we go with that. Anyway, that's enough wittering from me. Anyway, well, you can catch us next week.